Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Now to what I imagine will probably be one of the most challenging and perhaps confronting interviews that you may well hear and I may well conduct on Open House. Nathan Tasker has been a good friend of this program over the years. Nathan's an Aussie Christian singer-songwriter based in Nashville in the United States. Over the last couple of months, Nathan and his wife Cassie have been caught up in the joy and anticipation of twins, a boy and girl. But nearly 2 weeks ago, as some of you know from Nathan's blog, tragically, they both died in a premature birth. Normally, the thought of interviewing someone so soon and who's, of course, so raw would never have entered my head. But Nathan, of his own initiative, has put it out there himself that we could speak with him about these last couple of weeks and let you know how he and Cassie are going. We've discussed this at length here in the Open House office. I've sought professional guidance about whether we should be doing this. And on the basis of that, I've had a good conversation with Cassie to see if she's totally okay with this. And she is. From Nashville in the United States, Nathan Tasker joins us now. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Lee. How you doing?
Fine. Thank you so much for joining us under such circumstances. I have no doubt that with your friends and family and fans listening tonight, all of our hearts go out to you both, and lots of prayers, which I know you've been very much aware of.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, just as we start chatting, Cassie and I are feeling obviously very shocked by what we've had to experience, and as a result, it's fairly raw, and we're fairly fragile, but, so grateful for the prayers of so many people around the world, and especially in our hometown of Sydney.
Yes. In my conversation with her, she spoke of you two before this and especially now operating as a team. Nothing is separate, even in your grieving.
No, that's very true. I think we've been very blessed that the last, we've been married coming up to 8 years, and during that time we've done everything together. I mean, we've toured together, we shifted our whole lives to Nashville together, and then had the incredible excitement of expecting twins together. And so, yeah, I think even in the good times we celebrate together, and in the extremely tough times we grieve together. And so, yeah, it's been, if you've got to grieve, you want to grieve with the people that you love the most. And so we're definitely joined in that at the moment.
Yes. Nathan, in confronting what you've said in your blog is the darkest night, I'm entirely in your hands about how much you want to tell us about these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to share about it. And I should let you know that we are under no illusions that a good portion of my life is about sharing how the truth has impacted my heart and Cassie's heart, and I sing about that, and I spend my whole life traveling sharing that. And so even in the midst of our grief, we feel confident that we're able to share even the hard times. So for those people who aren't aware, we were expecting twins. They were going to be born in November. Both very excited about that. We had originally thought we were having two boys until the 20-week scan that Cassie had, and we found out that we were expecting a boy and a girl. And I was very excited about this. I had worried what kind of a dad I could be to two boys. I'm not the manliest of men. I, play music for a living, and had worried about that.
Yeah.
But the fact that we found out that we were expecting a little girl as well, it was just, exciting is not really the most appropriate word for how thrilled we were.
Sure.
And then two and a half days later, after that scan, Cassie woke up on a Saturday morning, and one of her waters had broken around the little girl. Her sac had ruptured. And so we rushed to the emergency department here in Nashville, where a doctor informed us that the waters had indeed broken. And he was, at that moment, thinking he was going to have to deliver both babies. And that was, to be honest with you, that was probably the second hardest day of my life at that moment. But we had some great doctors come and intervene, and they were able to tell us that Cassie could go onto bed rest, and we would pray that both babies would stay inside until 24 weeks, which is a time where at this hospital, babies become viable, so they can begin to help the babies with some shots to help them mature quickly, so that they could be possibly be born and still be looked after.
Yes.
So we had about 10 days in hospital praying and hoping that the babies would indeed stay inside. And then about 2 weeks ago, August 10, Cassie went into labor, and our little girl was born first, and she had already died by the time that Cassie gave birth to her. And then the doctors had hoped that contractions would stop, that our little boy would stay inside because his sac was okay. They were in separate sacs, separate placentas. But an hour later, the contractions continued and our little boy was born. And he was alive probably for about 15 minutes. He sat on Cassie's chest and, you know, we got to, pray over him and also start mourning what it would be like not to watch him grow up. And so that's really what occurred, at least leading up to this moment that I'm talking to you. In the last couple of weeks, we've been at home here in Nashville. Cassie's mother's here as well with us, and so we have been, you know, going through an extremely deep sorrow and grief.
Yes. You say in your blog, and I'm hardly surprised at this, that hundreds of messages of support and solidarity have poured in from around the world. I love your way of describing them, a great cloud of witnesses. Tell us what that's meant to you both.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the scariest things in experiencing this kind of grief is to feel as though you're alone, and not only alone in questioning where God is, but also alone within your community. And we have been so blessed by the amount of people who have responded, who have either read my blog or heard through friends what we've been going through. And their first inclination is to get in contact. And all of the messages, almost to a T, have had exactly the same thing to say, and that is, we don't pretend to know what you're going through, but we want you to know that we're praying for you and that we're here, you know. And it has a real sense as though, you know, the prayers that I can't pray at the moment, I know that there are hundreds of people praying for me, you know. It's been such an incredible encouragement. Here in Nashville, we've got a church that we're a part of, and that community has gathered around us to provide meals and to pray. Our pastor came and visited us the first day after we lost the twins, and just sat with us and cried, you know. No attempt to kind of provide easy answers, but instead just to sit with us even in our grief.
There are no easy answers.
No, there really aren't. And it's funny how you become so aware of that. And, you know, the fact that we have more questions than answers right now. And I won't pretend that we've worked through all of that, you know, at all. And I don't know if we ever will get to work through all of it. But even in people's messages to us, some people have quoted Bible verses, which has been great because, to be honest, we haven't opened our Bible in the last week and a half. But even in those Bible verses, we both have a sense that truth is still true. And even though it feels like it's a long way off, as though it's a light at the end of a very dark tunnel, we are praying and hoping that we continue to move towards that truth that we know is true. So
I am sure you will, actually, in time. And,
yeah.
Only in time. Nathan, in the depths of this, where I know you both are right now, what do you say to God, or how do you picture God, and how connected or not are you to him at this stage?
Yeah, wow. I mean, Cassie probably put it best, and this has just been us totally honest with you. She said to me, how do you find refuge in the one who could have prevented this? Mm. And I understand that heart cry, and I feel that deep inside myself. And I think at the moment, the way that we're doing it is by by taking our frustration, taking our disappointment, taking even our anger, and actually taking it to God. Our prayers, if you heard them, are very simple at the moment. They're very crying out to know that not only is he with us, but to also know that he hears us. But I think that in the fact that we want to take what we are feeling to God is probably the key. It's when you close yourself off completely that's despair. That's when you start to move backwards. And so if we're angry, well, we are more than willing to tell God that we're angry, even if we feel like we're angry at him. And if we're disappointed, we still feel like we can tell him our disappointment. And I think that's probably where our heart is at. And to be honest with you, I'm reading a book by my good friend Michael Card called A Sacred Sorrow. And in that book, he says that the Psalms and the laments in the Psalms, you know, half of the Psalms are laments, that they give us a language. They allow us to be able to express to God how we really feel rather than pretending we feel something else in front of him.
Yes.
And if we have permission through the Psalms and permission even in the life of Jesus to do that, well, Kathy and I are going to do that as much as we can.
There'll be thousands of people around Australia hearing you tonight, willing you on in that process. Nathan, for those who are listening who pray, how might they best do that for you both in the days, weeks and months ahead?
Wow. I mean, for those who are willing to pray for us, we feel so grateful for that, that we don't take that for granted at all. I guess the greater prayer is that we wouldn't lose hope, that we would, even if it's in small increments, we'd continue to trust. And I guess that we would in some way continue to know God's presence with us. I think those are the things that we are yearning for the most. You know, this past year has already been a hard one. Cassie's dad died 3 months ago from a brain tumor, and then this ray of hope, these little twins, became something we were holding on to, and maybe we need to still have hope even in spite of this tragedy. So if people are willing to pray, wow, I mean, that would just be a huge blessing for us.
If there's one thing that you would leave with us tonight, what would that be?
I think if there's one thing that I'm learning, can I give you two things? Is that okay?
By all means, absolutely.
Yeah. The two things I would say is this, that I really believe that being able to be honest with each other allows us to know each other better and to serve each other better as well. And for a long time, I used to go to church and think that I had to pretend I was a certain way. I had to pretend that I maybe wasn't going through what I was going through. But the longer that I've traveled, the longer I've met people, especially on the road, I've realized that the more honest we are with each other, you get honesty back, and you grow, and you're able to serve and care for each other better. And so that's probably the first thing that I've experienced through this, is even though my tendency is to want to crawl inside my shell and stay there in despair and not let anyone in, the reality is the more that I let people in, the more I'll be able to experience, I guess, the healing hand of God through others.
Yes.
So that's the first thing. I really believe in the power of being honest with each other and being honest to God especially. And the second one that I'd leave with people is this. I don't know how we would get through what we're going through if it wasn't for our community, whether it's family that love us, even on the other side of the world, or whether it's our church community here in Nashville who drop off meals every night just to let us know that they are standing with us. I really feel that the importance of church community, not only as a place where you can learn about God and learn about his love for you, but also experience it in the love of others who've been touched by him and who know something of his love, That's invaluable. I really want to encourage whoever's listening tonight that you never lose if you plug into community. You never lose if you plug into church community, especially. So I would strongly encourage people, and that's what I'm preaching to my heart as well. You know, I don't want to go to church on Sunday, I'll be totally honest with you, but I need to go because I need to be amongst brothers and sisters who love me and remind me of God's love, even when sometimes I can't feel it. So, yeah, that would be my thought.
Nathan Tasker, I greatly admire your enormous courage in putting yourself up for this. I just know everyone listening is 110% behind you both, and our hearts are wrenched for you, and our hearts go out to you. Much love to you and Cassie.
Thank you so much, Lee. Very great.
Okay. And you can send Nathan your messages of support and keep up with how they're travelling at www.nathantasker.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.